Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. You are listening to London Garcia Live, and this is London Garcia, yours truly here. And tonight we have a very special guest. She's actually been on my show a few times before, and so we get to, this is kind of following a journey here. So the guest tonight is Lee Kessler, who is an author, an actor, screenwriter, stage director, you name it. She's an educator, a speaker. I can think of so many different things. She's capable of doing many, many things, but you may be familiar with some of her work. A lot of people are, from the 80s when she was in shows in like Hill Street Blues, Matlock, things like that. And she actually was the very first woman ever in U.S. history to play Anais Nin. I believe I want to make sure I get that name right. If I didn't get it right, I'm sure she'll help me out with that. But, you know, Lee was first on the show, like, gosh, it's probably been about 2 years ago. And so she's actually been on my show at every station except for the very first one I was ever at. And many, many, many things have changed since then. There's been quite a progression with her books. There's been a second book that's come out, a third one, so we're going to talk about all that good stuff. And so I actually think that I might have her on the line. And is this Lee Kessler?
Yes, it is. I'm so excited to be back with you.
I know. I'm going to actually create a reality show called the Lee and London Chronicles.
That would be a good one. Good idea.
So I just gave a quick little preview. Of course, I don't do it justice like you do. And, of course, I know what's been going on with this journey with your books and where things are going. And things are at a very exciting point right now with, I know, the first book. But if you could go ahead and kind of introduce, you know, just your first book and how you came upon that. Because, you know, we have some new listeners here and some new people to get familiar with what you've been doing. So you wrote this first book, White King and the Doctor, and then released the second one, White King Rising. And then I know you're working on a third one right now. But I'll let you go ahead and introduce, you know, the first book, how that came about and what's going on or what has gone on with the journey.
Well, I'll be happy to because it has been such an adventure. And you're right, I did hear you. It was about 2 years ago that we were connected up and you got a chance to hear about White King and the Doctor the first time. And I this was a book I didn't intend to write. So if your listeners are paying attention, that we sometimes end up taking a turn in our life because of events that happen and we perceive that there's someone we could do to help. And, you know, I am an actress. I've been in the entertainment industry a long time. I've had the opportunity during my career to play a lot of real people, and that requires a little bit of a different discipline, if you will, when you're approaching the role. And so after 9/11, I was busy doing what most of us were, again, trying to help our country in any way we could, but trying to live my life normally. And then in 2004, when I was watching Americans from that point until the present, frankly, and especially in government, but even in the public, becoming more and more in each other's face, critical, really harsh criticisms, debate, kind of almost a knee-jerk antagonism going on, I said, you know, this seems to me that this would be evidence of an inside force. Something's tearing us apart from inside. And so I started to do some research on the actual mastermind, the real-life mastermind of Al-Qaeda. He's an Egyptian psychiatrist by the name of Ayman al-Zawahiri. And okay. The research showed some interesting things about him. So I simply said, well, suppose I could figure out his driving motivation. If I can, I can perhaps understand what he's doing, and is he possibly involved in this divisiveness that's occurring in America? Well, I did my research, led to some things, laid out a scenario based upon what I thought would be his driving motivation, and I thought, if I've got it right, I'll start to see certain things happen around the world and in the U.S. Then they started to happen, and that's when I knew, uh-oh, I've nailed him, but how do I get the word? I couldn't just call up the White House, and I couldn't call up the Pentagon, you know. I would just be one of those nuts that calls in. So I said, my goodness, how do I get this message out to the people? So I felt, if I can write a good story and write a really compelling, interesting, entertaining novel, but in that novel reveal through him something that he's doing to us, then people can wake up and they can learn what they need to learn. But I've told it in a fictitious story, and that became White King and the Doctor.
Okay. And oddly enough, which maybe you'll hit on this a little bit later, that apparently the folks in the White House found out about this book or both books.
Well, I don't know if the people in the White House did. Man, I wish they had. But who did find out about it in both books, and certainly they've been following for the second one and waiting for the third, was military people and people in counterterrorism, and I believe some Homeland Security people. Because through book signings and people getting a hold of it, the word was getting out there on it. And
yeah,
people, as they read it, would start to talk to friends or they'd email. And some prominent people involved in military strategy and past command with the military, but also current counterterrorism people, when they read it, felt that the book is so shatteringly accurate that I knew more even than they know. And very importantly, that the story is revealing in a way that the person reading it can get some truths that if they tried to tell them, it would be too terrifying. It would be too horrifying. So they love to support me and actually go on the air with me and have really been promoting the book. So they can't wait to see what I'm turning out next, because I'm usually out in front of, because I'm writing into the future. That was the other thing I didn't mention. I was writing into the future, and then life would catch up with where I'd been writing. That's when it started to draw a lot of attention of, oh, my Lord, how did she figure this out?
Yeah. No, but that's a huge deal, and that's funny. That's a point I actually forget to bring up sometimes, the fact that you're writing about things and saying this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the odd, the strange, and, you know, for a lot of people, the eerie thing is seeing those things play out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I gave the book White King Rising about this time last year for a pre-read to General Paul Vallely, because I wanted him to do a quote for me and a review, which he was planning to do. So he's in the pre-read on the book when it was in the final stages of editing and formatting, and he calls me and he said, oh, my Lord, Lee, he said, I have to get this out now to some current people in the military, because what you have evaluated in your opening chapters is happening south of the border and is going on with the drug cartels, Al-Qaeda, Mexico, Venezuela, and a bunch of places. He said, I believe that to be completely accurate, and you have shed some light on something. I've got to get this over to them. Well, then the book came out. And now when you turn on the news and you read about what's happening in Arizona and Nogales, and you read what's happening in Mexico and the state of war and all that's happening, all of that was in the book before it became part of the news or before it became part of the public's awareness.
Yeah.
Same with the Fort Hood shooting and the terrible massacre yesterday, that you're going to find that is linked to the Trojan horse and the real antagonist inside our country that's bringing us down institution by institution. And they're all linked, and they're all being controlled by a particular group and force for a purpose.
Wow. And it's as people read, from what I hear, because I haven't completed the books, but from what I hear, that when people get through these books, it's shocking what they discover is really happening underneath it all.
Yeah, it's freeing to them, though. Their readers' responses are very, very positive, because I didn't write books to terrify people and drive them down so they'd never sleep again and would feel powerless.
Sure.
Quite the opposite. The media does a more than adequate job of that,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I wrote books that help people face what they need to face and see something that was there, but until they look at it from a different angle and a different perspective, they don't see it. Once they see it, then it's in front of them and they can deal with it. And it's actually very freeing and very empowering, and that's been a universal comment. When people go to my website and they read reader comments in there or whatever, the thing that comes back to me in emails and when people call me or whatever or see me is, you know, when that was done, I turned on the television the next time and I could see it. and or they would look out into life or look out in the circumstances, and all of a sudden they understood what had been happening to them that was bothering them, because they thought, I shouldn't be reacting this way, or this shouldn't be happening in my family, or this shouldn't be happening, you know, in our country at this time. But once they had read the books, then they could see why it was happening. Well, if you can identify a root cause, you can automatically handle it. You kind of, it vanishes almost right then. So most people are feeling more hopeful and more optimistic after reading these than they did before.
Actually, that's true, because I think generally when people, that's a great point. It's so funny. I always have these little, like, aha moments, people call them, whenever I do these interviews with you, because I have something that will occur to me that, of course, I had never thought about before. And, you know, the thing that hit me right now when you're talking about that is generally when we find out, it's like it's not the actual problem or obstacle that scares us so much as just knowing that there is some problem or obstacle and we can't pinpoint it.
Yeah, it's the unknown part of that, the mystery, see? And that's where the mind control and the mind games come in. This guy is a masterful mind manipulator. He was trained and used a lot of the methodologies of the Soviet Union, and without getting into a lot of detail on that, because they're part of the story and the mystery of the book of how could he pull it off, and if he could, what does he use inside the United States that hooks us like that? But you're right on top of it, because our mind gets very agitated when there's a mystery there and something hidden, and we know it's there, but we can't see what it is. See, so all I was doing was using my imagination and then spotting it and then turning a spotlight on it so you could see it. And then people go, ah, well, there it is. Fun.
But didn't what happened was, from what you've shared with me in the past, isn't what happened that, I'm not sure if I'm phrasing that right, that there were people that assume that there's no way just, you know, kind of a regular American citizen lady who's an actor and all that would write something like this. Like, didn't people assume that it was somebody else writing these?
Yeah, I had that. I had had a lot of phone calls and little quizzes, or you might want to call them interrogations, from folks on that, because the accuracy, apparently, of my scenarios and the plot as it unfolds in both of the books is so on top of it that people in the intelligence community would call, or they would challenge and say, how could she know this? How could someone who's a citizen, not a part of the security community, not a part of counterterrorism, not a part of intelligence, have put this together with what appears to be such accuracy? Well, see, now that, but you and I are in the entertainment industry. And anybody who is a performer, but also who uses their creative imagination, would know that you can go farther, much farther with imagination than you ever come with searching through a pile of data. That's like forest for the trees time. You know, you can't see it. But when you get up above it and you use creative imagination, you could actually work out stories and scenarios. And that's where that, coupled with my training as an actor on how to develop the driving motivation of a character so that the choices he makes are very real, putting that in the context of this guy made it very possible for me to figure out what he could be doing. It appears he is doing it. Or a group of people like him are doing it. It doesn't have to be limited to just him. It's the accuracy of it that I wanted to get to in terms of truth for the people
right.
when they read it. Yeah.
And what people, the people who know you really well, or the people who are closest to you, your closest friends and business colleagues and people like that, which it's funny, from two years ago it was like, oh, hi, Lee, and it was like this strange thing and I'm trying to get to know you and everything, and then like now I know you so much better and, you know, I share all my personal stuff with you.
Yeah.
And so it's like people who, you know you really well, I know, are not surprised at all that you would be able to write in this way and figure this out and do this kind of background work and be accurate and all of that. So for the listeners, like, you know, there's, you know, she's, how can I put it? This is a very smart, trained, capable woman who just took the time and figured it out and, you know, put out these books that have, you know, gotten the respect of these folks in the military and people out in the media. And I know now, people in the entertainment industry who are speaking with you about, you know, the film part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate that, Gina. But, you know, I think that's part of the message that I would hope to carry, particularly to Generation Y, but frankly to anybody. You know, if somebody's young and teens or 20-somethings, you're Generation Y, and the baton is coming to you. But what I realized, and I hope everyone does, is that each of us has the ability to affect circumstances around us and enhance and figure things out, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our company that we work with, whether it's in our community, whether it's with our government. I think if there's anything I would challenge government and media on is when their approach to us is if we're somehow incompetent, not smart enough, and not really capable of running our lives, let alone our communities, let alone our country. That is not true. And I think if there's anything that my story tells people is, yes, I am a committed American. I want to help my country prevail. I want to help the torch of freedom, the light of freedom, be there forever. And that affects America and America standing strong. So I was just one citizen saying, what can I do to help? My stories are helping, but I know that everyone has something that they can contribute, and they should never minimize that in themselves, despite what, you know, so-called authorities might try to do. We have more insight and more power than we think we do. And when we rise up and bring our own talents and our own special perspectives to things,
That's so true, and it's actually that's a huge difference, because there's so many people that are in the entertainment industry, writing books or talk shows, whatever, who really build this whole. In fact, one of my business partners gave me a great description about this one day. Just that they really create this kind of guru thing about them, kind of like I'm the one with the know-all and, you know, be-all kind of thing. Whereas the difference is, through these books, is opening up for people. It's almost like cracking open something in them, like, oh, wait a minute, I have this too. Like, you know, like I'm very capable too. That's a huge difference than a lot of people who are out there in the spotlight in the media.
Well, that's something that my parents tried to instill in me, but also in the choices I've made in life with people I've had the opportunity to work with in business and in church and so on, that I try to make certain that the things that I'm doing actually cause the other person to be more independent, you know, have some fun and have some enjoyment, to be more independent and more, you know, feel better and stronger after he's watched some performance of mine or read a book or whatever. I try to make my life's work, and I know you do the same. I try to make my life's work about things that when the person is done with it, their time was well invested, their money was well invested, and they came out richer and stronger. And that takes some focus and concentration, but I feel a lot better trying to live that way, and I appreciate that it is recognized there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, like, for those who are listening for the first time and just getting introduced to your books and what you're doing here, if you could give just a quick little description of what White King and the Doctor tells and then what White King Rising tells.
The first book, White King and the Doctor, is a wonderful mystery and suspense novel, but it lays out and informs you as you go along what's happening to us, and who's doing what, and who the real players are that are impacting us, not just prior to 9/11, but since 9/11, but what their goals are, what their objectives are. And then the second book, it's through the viewpoint of the mastermind of Al-Qaeda, but the heroes in the United States are a CIA analyst and a young, he's 18 when it begins, a grandmaster chess champion who's also a football player. And that's the journey in the first one, is that grandmaster chess champion and the analyst try to figure out who's doing it and what they're doing and a little bit of why they're doing it. And you get a hint of how they're doing it. The second book, White King Rising, is the story of how they're doing it. And it's really a story of a Trojan horse, and if people remember their history, and that's when the Greeks dropped the Trojan horse outside the gates of Troy there, and then they sailed away so that the Trojans would think that it was a gift in surrender, so to speak, or giving up on the battle. But inside the belly of the Trojan horse were the agents of Greece. So the Trojans opened the gates, and they took in this Trojan horse, and they welcomed it in, and then they closed the gates, and then in the dead of night, the agents, the soldiers in the Trojan horse first dropped out. They opened the gates and allowed the Greeks who had returned to come in. And the second book is the story of the Trojan horse. What Trojan horse did we bring into the United States and that has now opened up and undermined our education system, destroying the youth, attacking the family, undermining religion, infiltrating business, infiltrating justice, infiltrating even the military. It's the story of the Trojan horse, how we're being brought down, how we're being divided and conquered, but also, more importantly, how we win. That one involves another young football-playing boy from the hood. He's a buddy of Andy Weir's, the chess player. His name is Brian Washington Carver, and he's a kid from the hood and never expected to do much except his odd association with this other young guy leads him into a journey where he is in a head-to-head confrontation with neither one of them knowing it, with the mastermind of Al-Qaeda, and he figures out a way to destroy the entire attack line. So this young kid from the hood actually saves us all.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's a really cool twist.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's very
he's
cool.
A wonderful character. The second book's very emotional. It's up close and personal because it occurs right where you live, and everybody
and now,
gets really involved in it.
When you're talking about the Trojan horse, is that the same thing that you're referring to when you say the fifth column?
Yeah, the fifth column would be it's a military term for a force inside a country whose purpose is to break the solidarity and to rip it apart from inside. So the strategy of the fifth column, the actual way they're doing it is through the Trojan horse, and it is a shocker. It is a shocker, and it comes out pretty early on in the second book. And, you know, the readers have been going, you know, I thought that. Somehow I knew it. Well,
yeah.
Part of the road out is just recognizing that, because I was on an interview not too long ago, and the host of the interview on the radio said, so you're saying that this enemy is outside our door? And I said, oh, no, I'm saying the enemy's already inside our house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part is the not knowing and you can't pinpoint it yet is the part that gets people so frustrated and that, you know, there's all that anxiety and everything. You know, when I know it's even like something like this or if it's something just like personal, when I just know what the problem is, it's like so much easier to just to create a pathway to get through the problem and move on.
Right. We're all very bright and we're very capable. And we can do that, and that's what I'm excited about. And, of course, I'm here in the Los Angeles area as we put together the deal on the first book. And you'll be the first one I call, frankly. I can't wait to tell you when it's signed. No, we're right in the final processes of it. And if there
yeah,
were
you guys are, like,
needles,
right in the middle of stuff with you. Now, this is in reference to turning the first book into a major motion picture.
Yeah, it'll be a humdinger. And because it's a great, great story, regardless of all the stuff we're talking about, it is a terrific story with very compelling characters, and it'll make a wonderful movie, and I'm excited about being able to sign the rights over to a team that will be going forward with it, and I'm excited for people to be able to watch it, because people watch a lot of stuff, and they watch more movies, so for this to really impinge, I think we got to get it into feature film, and then, of course, it'll be a franchise, because there's the second one, and then I am writing the third book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the next Lord of the Rings.
Well, except it's true. Yeah. We also have that. That fantasy that delivers.
You're the next.
This is
the next, like, Harry Potter.
Yeah. And so fun. Well, I hope so. Man, I hope so. But I'm eager to have the message carry forward and to bring other people's creative imagination in it. Because, see, as soon as we get it into production, and pre-production, pre-development even, that's when the writer's talent's going to come in to adapt it and the director and the vision that they'll have with it. So you bring a crack team in on that, and we're going to have quite a motion picture.
Yeah, I have no doubt. There's little things that I see in my mind about it. So I have no doubt I can see just how it would really draw in people of, like, every age. So I'm... Mm-hmm. It's something I actually am excited to see the first one. I really would be chomping at the bit to see that first one.
Yeah, I agree. And the every age thing, everyone gets involved in this. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's baby boomers who've, you know, lived a certain other type of life and they've watched changes in America, or the very young people who are going, oh, man, we knew we were up against something and we didn't know what it was, and that's why we're so ornery. Sometimes we knew there was something. But also it brings people together because it transcends politics. It gets beyond racial divides. It gets beyond gender things. This book is bringing people together from all, not only all types of backgrounds, but the genders, the races, the politics, because it's about an issue that's relevant to every one of us and is not limited by any of those other factors. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, we have, like, I think probably about 4.5 minutes or something. Do you want to give people a little peek of the third book?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about it, because when I was doing the book signings on the second book, as it was released this year, I had really intended that the second book, because it does have a solution in it and it's so optimistic, would be the end of that. But as I was doing book signings, it became evident when people were asking questions or they'd email in, you know, or whatever, that there was yet one unanswered question. And that question was, who sent the Trojan horse? And so the third book, which is entitled, it's a working title right now, is White King and the Redemption of Bud Walker. Now, for those of you, when you read the first two books, he's the media mogul that ends up kind of on the wrong side of things here. But he's not a bad guy. But in any case, the third book will be the story of who sent that Trojan horse. So I'm going right to the core this next time of who is at the very top manipulating that would even have control over someone like a Zawari, and who would have control over those groups that you read about in the first two books that would cause them and enable them to do what they're doing to us, and why are they doing it, and how do we turn around and win against them. So it's a book of victory, but it's also a bit of payback, because some of the bad guys from the first two books are going down in my in my third book.
Yeah.
I've had
that's
enough people say, can we, you know, can we handle some of these fictitious characters? And I go, sure. So, and it's also going to be dealing a bit with slave trading and the human slavery that's going on the planet today, because that's in the mix of all this too. But who sent the Trojan horse will be a true shocker.
Wow, that's, you know, because this is the first, of course, I'm hearing of anything about the third book.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Exactly.
So that's very cool. And so, of course, now which link would you like to promote so that people can go and check out the books, and you can purchase the books easily online. Lee's made it very, very easy for you to go purchase one book, both books, whatever. You really
can't know anything like that. I would think the easiest thing, Gina, would be for them to go to whitekingrising.com. That way they can not only order, but they can read and look at stuff and watch videos. There's all kinds of things. And if they need Kindle, the ordering process links them through to Kindle. They can order the books from the site. They, of course, could go to Amazon. I mean, they're not hard to find. The books aren't hard to find. But
no,
I think my site's more fun. You get a good product, too.
Your website is actually the best place to go, because it's true. Like, when I go to it, I realize, like, oh, there's these new videos. And so then, you know, the listeners can get a little sneak peek of you talking about these different things or being on different interviews and everything. And so instead of just hearing you, like, on my show right now, they actually get to see your bright, shiny smile on these other interviews.
Well, I appreciate that.
So perfect. So I think we probably have, like, I always watch my time here. Fortunately, I have a pretty good system here where I can keep track of this. But the link again for you guys want to go and take a little peek and just even see what it's about. And there's actually, you can read the first two chapters of It's White King and the Doctor, right?
They can go to whitekingrising.com and they'll see the most. If they go to whitekingandthedoctor.com, they can make a link over to whitekingrising.com. But because the new book is whitekingrising.com.
I think it's what is it? Oh, it's the first two chapters of White King Rising.
They can read the first two chapters of either one of them there.
Okay.
But if they go to whitekingrising.com, that's the more current website because it's the current release.
Yeah.
And most popular.
So that would be, it's super easy. You just go to whitekingrising.com. Books there, and then of course you guys can always you know, check out anything I have going on with the show. You guys can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/LondonGarcia, or twitter.com/LondonGarcia, and I always have updates. Whenever Lee has new stuff, I like to shoot it out there too. And then her Facebook page, you can go to facebook.com/LeeKesslerStoryteller. That's a great page. So you guys go there and check out the Facebook page, and, you know, once you fall in love with this stuff, you're going to want to be a fan of the page.
That's right.
So cool. So, Lee, thank you so much for calling in and sharing about that, and I think we're probably just about out of time here.
You bet. It's been great being with you. As always, I always enjoy chatting with you, and I know your listeners do too, so it's been fun.
Thank you so much. You guys, this is Lennon Garcia Live, and you've been listening to, of course, me, Lennon Garcia, with Lee Kessler. Check out her books, and we will be back tomorrow with Dave the Intern. Peace out.